Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sparked by a desire to explore the possibility of dwarfism in her family history, our next guest turned to her camera.
So, Dad, who in our family had short arms and legs?
Now, Lila was like that. Then there's my mother.
Do you think there have been dwarfs in the past?
Not that I'm aware of, but we have a tendency in that direction.
People like us get described as disproportionate, even though we have lovely proportions.
What does it mean to liberate your body?
I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
And that is the trailer for The Tallest Dwarf, a new documentary premiering on PBS Independent Lens on Monday, April 6. Director Julie Forrest Wyman's exploration of her own dwarfism led her to learn more about where she fits into dwarf culture and the little people community, teaming up with others to confront the troubled history of how dwarfs have been viewed in society and forge a new vision of beauty and power for their community. Julie Forrest Wyman is an associate professor of cinema and digital media at UC Davis and the director of The Tallest Dwarf. She joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you are a local talent. You are an accomplished and longtime filmmaker. Your first short film, Enjoy, came out in 1998. What led you to want to become a filmmaker?
I became a filmmaker because I wanted to expand, and I still want to expand, the really narrow range of images that our culture gives us for what beauty looks like. I believe that a range of all kinds of body types, sizes, fat bodies, disabled bodies, little people bodies of all different forms of dwarfism actually have beauty in them. And if we can sort of use film, media, photography, cinema to shift and model that gaze, it, I hope, creates a space that we need in our culture and the way we see ourselves and the way we look at other people.
And that was laid out so beautifully in the clip that we just played for your new documentary, The Tallest Dwarf. And we're hearing the clip of you talking to your dad about speculation that dwarfism may run in your family. Was that something that you and your family talked about often?
We talked about it. It's interesting because the film starts with my parents not really having the same memories as me, remembering the frequency with which our different proportions were brought up. But we talked about it a lot. And I also just grew up with the sense that my body was different and that my body didn't fit as someone who has shorter arms and legs, a longer torso, you know, is also I consider myself fat, even though I'm on the small side of fat. So, you know, clothes are difficult for me to find and have been my whole life. And so my family talked about it, but not with any clarity or with a sense of pride and claiming that difference and identity.
I mean, as you just illustrated, you know, as you kind of are just, you know, navigating life and coming into your own and just, you know, as you mentioned, shopping for clothes. I mean, you refer to yourself as an in-betweener, right? And so how does that view of yourself play a role in this film?
Right. I mean, a lot of people from all different kinds of in-betweener statuses, like people who might be biracial or, you know, from multiple cultures, have told me they really relate to the film and that it shows something that they haven't seen very much in film stories. You know, I'm sort of I am fully a little person. I claim that now. But growing up and until, you know, middle age, when I started this project, I wasn't quite sure. My dwarfism is something that to a lot of little people who I've met is completely evident. But to the world at large, there was a lot of tendency to just say, no, you're normal. I don't see it. So there's a way in which some people like me have differences that are sometimes visible, sometimes not. They mean that you belong sometimes to two categories and sometimes to neither, right? You're sort of something. And to me, that experience has really shaped how I see the world. It's a sense of not knowing if I fit sometimes and looking for belonging, but also sometimes being able to move between different categories can be a superpower. So I think, you know, entering the Little People community is utilized that perspective for me. You know, it was uncomfortable being the taller one in the room, but it was also quite compelling and inviting and amazing to be in a community at Little People of America, where suddenly I was seeing body types that looked like mine, you know, the shapes of legs and arms and, you know, that look like me and my dad and my grandma. So, I think there's a way that being in between can also make you have a different kind of like uncertainty or insecurity. And I really wanted to explore that type of story, which I hope a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, you team up with a lot of other artists for this project. I mean, you are part of the Little People community and you get to learn from each other while also relate as well. And I think that's just so beautiful talking about these kind of, you know, obviously archaic standards of beauty and culture and really like humanizing that. Another piece of this, I mean, you're discovering your place in this community, but you also discover, I guess, a growing issue, which is potentially considering the use of medical interventions to become taller. Tell us more about what these interventions are and if there's like a debate taking place when you talk to people in the community.
There are different medical interventions for dwarfism. Well, I should just first of all say that some little people grow up with no medical complications and, you know, live lives that are very similar medically to the general population. Other little people have many medical complications. So just to say, as little people, we have a very particular and sometimes intertwined, intimate relationship with our doctors. But on top of that, just needing specialized medical care, there are new medical interventions. There are old and new medical interventions that make little people taller. And there's one that's existed for longer called limb lengthening, which is a surgical procedure. And interestingly, that's been talked about in our culture, not just for little people, but also for average height men in particular, who, you know, this was the subject of the film The Materialists and was a Saturday Night Live skit recently. But it's, to me, all the medical interventions, what I find interesting about them is the way that they show us just how difficult it is to be different in our culture, and the way that our culture exerts huge pressure on us to fit and to look like a particular norm, to be a certain height. Men should be tall. Little people shouldn't have different proportions, you know, and I think people feel those pressures, and that's really one of the factors that impacts people's decision about doing either surgical or pharmaceutical medical intervention. And there is a lot of debate. Well, there has been debate in the Little People community. And I also think it's not only debate, it's a personal choice that each person, each parent of a little person might have to make for their kid. And so it's also something that isn't just debated. There's a lot of, I think, complicated feelings and decisions that each family and person needs to make for themselves now when they are presented with this option of medical intervention. Usually it's presented to parents of young children because most, and often those parents do not have dwarfism. You know, 80% of little people are born to average height parents. So there's a interesting dynamic where people that haven't had the experience of dwarfism are responsible for making medical choices for their kids. And sometimes those include choices about shifting how their kid is going to look and what their physique might be when they grow up.
I mean, this is kind of just the tip of the iceberg. People are going to be watching your film on Monday on PBS, but you're also having in-person screenings as well and having conversations with people. We only have about 30 seconds or so left, but there will be some screenings here in Sacramento, correct?
We have a screening at UC Davis. It's the area in-person premiere of the film. It will be to celebrate the Davis Humanities Institute at UC Davis. And we will, I'll be there in person along with Mark Povinelli, who's one of the main participants in the film. I think it's going to be a really amazing event. So it's free, open to the public, and I invite everyone to come.
Yeah, and I hope everyone leaves with self-acceptance, self-love.
Absolutely. That's the goal here, is to kind of, you know, have an experience of seeing a new form of beauty that you can bring to how you look at yourself, too.
Julie, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great talking with you, Vicky.
Julie Forrest Wyman is the director of The Tallest Dwarf and an associate professor of cinema and digital media at UC Davis. The Tallest Dwarf will premiere on PBS's Independent Lens on Monday, April 6th. It will be available to stream on the PBS app and PBS YouTube. There will also be a local screening of the film on April 8th, as Julie just laid out, and we do have a link on our website. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify, and you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy Science Friday tomorrow. We'll catch you back here on Monday.